Good morning. First of all, I want to just take time to thank you for your prayers and support throughout the years that you've supported us. It was great to have your representatives come down and be with us for a week or so in Ecuador. Give them a chance to try out some new foods and see the people and get to know some of the leaders as well. At the entrance, both entrances, there's a sign-up sheet if you want to get our newsletter via email, or if you want to do it via what they call snail mail, old-fashioned way. Also, there, if you need to update your prayer cards that we have or magnets, there are new ones out there as well. So please help yourself with that. What we all lack and how to get more. And I'm not talking about money, okay? That may be something else that we all lack, but that's not the topic for today. It is the Christian attribute or character trait that could be more fundamental, more basic than love. The challenge I have for you this morning is, what are you going to do to grow in this character trait? How are you going to change your thinking to be able to have more of this that we all lack and lack a lot of? It's been my experience in my own marriage and also the marriages that we have counseled that the relationship problems they have can be resolved by having more of this. This is the Christian attribute that most eludes us. And it's the one that Christ used to describe himself when he said, I am meek and, we'll find out in a moment. In our discipleship group, we do a lot of emphasis on Christian character. Each trimester has three areas. We have the area of Bible knowledge, which is the easiest part to teach, area of ministry ability, and the area of Christian character. And so we work on these areas of Christian character, which is the hardest thing to do. And we teach on things such as integrity, the nine aspects of the fruit of the Spirit, excellence in serving, being trustworthy, having a spirit of prayer, also having the fear of God, having a little more of that within you. But there is one that is the most difficult. It is the one that people say that after studying this trait, it's like a shadow that follows them, and it discerns their motives and intentions of their heart. It is clear that the apostles lacked this, even after walking with Christ for over 3 years. The Christian who believes has this, if the Christian believes that he has this, it's probably the one that least has it. This character trait is the most difficult and at the same time the basis of all the other Christian characteristics that we should have. The opposite of this is the reason for our sins. It is the reasonable explanation of all evil. I think I've never heard a sermon on this. If I had, I must have slept through it. Okay? But I approach this topic with a lot of fear and trembling, because the first thing you think about when somebody talks about that is, look who's talking. Look who's talking. Let's read some Bible quotes, and I think you'll quickly discern which character trait that I'm talking about. We're going to look at Luke 23:24, and we find that this is a trait that the disciples are lacking, and it's even hours before their dearest friend and their Savior is crucified. They come and say, then a dispute also arose among them about who should be considered the greatest. On another occasion, we find John and James asking Christ that they may have the two highest places, left and the right of his throne. And the disciples, or the other apostles, get angry with them because they beat him to the punch. They also wanted those places of honor. The apostles heard Christ talk about this various times, various different ways. But we're looking at Matthew chapter 18. It says, therefore, whoever himself like this child is the one who is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Christ taught this in a parable between the Pharisee and the tax collector. We'll read in Luke 18. Two men went up to the temple complex to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee took his stand, was praying like this: God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, greedy, unrighteous, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of everything I get. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even raise his eyes to heaven, but kept striking his chest, saying, God, turn your wrath from me, a sinner. I tell you, this one went down to his house justified rather than the other. Because everyone who exalts himself will be, but the one who himself will be exalted. I mentioned you already know that what I'm talking about is humility. Humility. That is what we all lack and need to grow and have more of. Humility is a total dependence upon God. It is the first duty of us as creatures to depend on the Creator. And it's also the root of all good qualities and grace. And similarly, it's the explanation of, if we lack it, is explanation of our sin and all that is evil. Now think for a moment. Without humility, there is no faith. There is no love. There is no joy. And there is no strength demonstrated of God working in us. Humility is the only soil in which the other traits take root. And the lack of humility is a reasonable explanation of what is behind our sin that motivates us to sin. It is the reasonable explanation of failure in the Christian life. Humility is not so much a blessing, another blessing, or attribute. It is the root. It is the basis of all the others. Now, there is a humility that takes place when we're caught with our hand in the cookie jar. We're caught in our sin. We say, oh, yeah, and we have a little bit of humility. But this is not the humility I'm talking about today. I'm talking about humility that we should have because God is the Creator and we are His creation. And it's our relationship with God that is shown through our humility. Christ showed this kind of humility because He depended upon His Father, as we should depend upon Him as well. In the Gospel of John, we'll look at Christ's dependence on His Father. And we'll look at some verses here. I'm not going to share all of them because there's quite a few, but we'll share four of them here. John 5:9. The Son is not able to do anything on His own, but only what He sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, the Son also does these things in the same way. 5:30. I can do nothing of my own. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of Him who sent me. 6:38. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my will, but the will of Him who sent me. And one more, 14:10. The words I speak to you, I do not speak on my own. The Father who lives in me does His works. There's more, but I think you get the gist of this dependence of Christ on His Father. That should be an indication of how we should depend upon Him as well. Now we know the humility of Christ is not just in words, but in deeds. And the maxim deed, of course, is what we find in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. Make your own attitude that of Christ, Jesus, who existing in the form of God, did not consider equality with God as something to be used for His own advantage. Instead, He emptied Himself by assuming the form of a slave, taking on the likeness of men. And when He had come as a man in external form, He humbled Himself, like becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Now, how can we recognize our pride, our lack of humility? Maybe you, like me, I'm a novice in practicing humility, but I'm an expert at finding the pride in others. So I want to look at some questions here. See if we can recognize some of our humility here. Some of our pride. First of all, are we quick to evaluate, criticize? Are you quick to see what is wrong or lacking? How do you respond when someone corrects you or calls you on the carpet? How do you react to criticism? Do you say thank you? Or does anger, resentment start to grow within inside you? Do we protect our rights or space? When we drive and people cut us off, enter into our lane, we have to break or swerve not to hit them? Do we give them one of these killer looks? Do we honk our horn long and hard? Or do we say, God bless you, have a great day? Do we want recognition or approval? How do you feel when someone receives recognition for what you have done? Or you receive the blame for what someone else has done? Do we defend our reputations? We think if we don't stand up for ourselves, who will? Do you get defensive when someone disrespects you or ignores you? Do we try to control our surroundings, control our schedule, control the people around us, try to influence them? You know, say we're trying to be a good example, good influencer, when we're really trying to control them. Do we fear that another knows our sin? He who hides nothing knows nothing, fears nothing. Do we compare ourselves with others in relationship with God? It's easy to fall into this attitude like the Pharisee did. You know, I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of everything. Sometimes we say, wow, I'm not so bad because I attend church every Sunday. I go to Bible study on Wednesday night. I go to small groups if we have small groups. I even show up for work day. Do we compare ourselves like that with others? An author named Nancy Lee DeMoss has written an excellent book called Brokenness. And in it, she has 35 contrasts between people that are prideful and those who are broken or humble. I want to share some of those with you this morning. First contrast here. Proud people focus on the failures of others and can rarely point out those faults. Are there more experts like that, like me? I'm good at that. Broken people are more conscious of their own spiritual need than of anyone else's. Proud people are concerned about appearing respectable. They are driven in to protect their image and reputation. One thinks that someone says, well, how could they say that about me? How could they think about that me, about that? And we want to defend ourselves. Broken people are concerned with being real. They care less about what others think than about what God knows. They are willing to die to their own reputation. Unfortunately, in the Christian world, many have fallen into the trap of self-esteem. The idea we have to feel good about ourselves. We have to think good about us. When that is only a subtle and culturally acceptable way of pride. And pride is sin. The important thing is what God thinks about me. Not what I think about myself, nor what others think about me, but what God thinks. Now, there's a lot more that could be said on that, but we'll say that for some other message. Let me share two more contrasts. And the next one hits me especially hard. Proud people have an independent and self-sufficient spirit. That's me. That's Bill. If you don't believe me, ask my wife. Okay? Broken people have a dependent spirit. They recognize their need for God and for others. One more. Proud people claim rights and have a demanding spirit. They claim their space, their turn, their portion. But broken people yield their rights and have a meek spirit. I think those are enough, but let's give you an idea. If you want to see the whole thing, you know, you can get the book called Brokenness by Nancy DeMoss. But let me warn you, there is a contrast in there that will catch you by surprise. And it will hit you hard. Okay? Just be aware of that. It's when we're counseling couples, we do some marriage counseling either before they say I do or after they say I do. And we found something that is what I call a cure-all for relationships. It resolves the problems that they have between themselves. And this is a verse we read at the beginning of service today. Do nothing out of rivalry or conceit, but in humility consider others as more important than yourselves. Everyone should look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. I found that resolves relationship problems in all aspects of our lives. Have you tried to argue with a humble person? Have you seen an argument between two humble people? People that listen to each other without interrupting? People that do not throw those verbal darts to try to get to the other person? That phrase, oh, that verse is there, will resolve those relationship problems. So how can we grow in this trait that we all lack? How can we grow in humility? I want to give you some practical steps of how we can grow. Number one, study the words humility and pride in the Bible. Start in Proverbs. And as you read through Proverbs, take note of the characteristics, the consequences, or the blessings of the proudful and of the humble. Start with that. You'll find quite a bit in Proverbs on that subject. Read and study books on Christian humility, such as Brokenness, I mentioned earlier. And there's another book called Humility by Andrew Murray. And that's what we use in our discipleship group down there. That's, a lot of my thoughts this morning have come from that book. And we use that book, but it's a short book. It's real cheap. I think you can get the Kindle form on Amazon for free. It, for some reason, it's not on the best New York bestseller list. Misses out there somehow. But you'll need to read it slow for it to sink in. Maybe read each chapter twice. And then think how you can put that into practice on each chapter. Third, be obedient to God in humbling yourself. God says in Luke 14:11, everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. We see this in the example of Christ. Christ humbled himself, as what we read earlier. But look what God does when Christ humbled himself. As also in Philippians chapter 2. For this reason, God highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. If we do our part in humbling ourselves, God will do his part in exalting us in his time. Look for opportunities to humble yourself. Do not wait to be humiliated. Take the initiative there. There will come a point when everyone, believer or unbeliever, will have to recognize Jesus Christ as Lord. Let's take the opportunity to do that now and humble ourselves. When people are bothersome, you know, an irritable person that kind of is in your life and just always rubs you the wrong way, that's because they're bumping into your pride. And there's opportunity there to humble yourself. When they criticize you, when they blame you, receive it. Thank them for it. Doesn't mean you have to agree with everything they say. But you're going to take whatever they say, and you're going to take it in prayer and say, Lord, where's the truth in this that I need to humble myself and accept? When they invade your space, invade and take away your rights, they take your recognition that you should have, let God defend you. He can do a lot better job than you can. Wait on him. The promise is for those who willingly humble themselves, and he will defend and he will reward you. The fourth thing, the last thing is the most dangerous, okay? You know how we sometimes will pray for patience? Well, this is more dangerous than praying for patience, okay? I was sharing this sermon last week, and a man came up to me afterwards and said, I want to tell you what happened. We were praying for patience with our firstborn. She had a really strong character. We prayed for patience, and God answered us and gave us twins. So this next part is dangerous, and it's a four-word prayer. Pray, God, teach me humility. Start your day with that, and God will answer that prayer. He'll teach you humility. It's dangerous, okay? But you will grow in humility. Those four things. Pick one. or pick them all, and see what God will do in your lives in growing that humility, and see how that will change your relationships. How it will change not only your relationship with your spouse or with your family, but it will change your relationship with God and see how he works through you. Remember, for whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the example we have in your Son, Jesus Christ. Came to this earth, left his divinely rights back in heaven, and he became obedient to the point of death, and you rewarded him. Father, help us to have that faith and that trust. Lead us and guide us to grow in humility, because we want you to shine through us. We want you to be glorified. Thank you, Father, for the opportunities that you want to give us this week to humble ourselves so that you may be praised. In Jesus' name, amen.